Good morning, church family. Colleen has something she wants to read to you.
I will be reading from the Contemporary English Version, Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. God gave Stephen the power to work great miracles and wonders among the people. But some Jews from Cyrene and Alexandria were members of a group who called themselves free men. They started arguing with Stephen. Some others from Cilicia and Asia were arguing with him as well. But they were no match for Stephen, who spoke with great wisdom that the Spirit gave him.
God gives us all different talents. One of mine that I don't have is singing. But I do enjoy songs. And there's a song that we sing sometimes before we pray. So if you know this song, please join me as we kneel and join me in singing this song before we pray.
Now, dear Lord, as we pray, take our hearts and minds far away from the press of the world all around, to your throne where grace does abound. May our hearts be transformed by your love. May our souls be refreshed from above. At this moment, let people everywhere join us now as we come to you in prayer.
Gracious Heavenly Father, I claim Sabbath blessings upon this sanctuary and this congregation this morning. Bless each heart this morning, and with the baptism of your Holy Spirit, let the perfect obedience of your Son be our experience each day as we live our lives as earthly examples of your heavenly kingdom. Lord, let our hearts be transformed by your Spirit and create within each one of us a renewed desire and strength to carry on each day in his righteous power. Lord, as the world events prepare the way for Jesus' soon return, give us wisdom to recognize the task laid before us. Let us not be frightened by the intensity of these events, but let us be encouraged that they show the fulfillment of your will just before Jesus appears to take us all home. Bless the sick and infirm this morning, Lord, and bless those who mourn for others gone from us. Let your Spirit bring them comfort that yet in a little while we'll all be going home. Especially bless the homeless and the unemployed, Father. They need you most desperately in this, their hour of great need. Let your words be heard through Pastor Dennis this morning, and let your message be surely heartfelt by each one here. Teach us how to live our lives clothed in the garment of Christ's righteousness. And when you look upon our broken souls, see us not in our unworthy, sinful state, but redeemed by He who bled and died for all. At this moment, let people everywhere join us now as we come to you in prayer. Amen.
And left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, and live.
carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, and live. Like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl, and remember when you walk, sometimes you fall. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours like rain, then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, and live. And when your loss spills over, fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, and the world goodbye. Then go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus. Jesus, fly to Jesus and live.
Thank you. I was sitting there fighting what's happening to me right now. But I don't know about you, but when the words were, come to Jesus, brought motion. I'm going to tell you a story that I haven't told on myself, of how Jesus has been at work in your pastor's life. For the years that I've spent in counseling with individuals and families, young people, whenever I would step into the pulpit, I would become very emotional. Whenever I prayed, I couldn't complete a prayer without tears just streaming down my face. And when the call came to come to Camarillo, I had a discussion with Jesus. I said, Jesus, I don't want to be known as the weeping pastor. You've got to help me. And he did. And he has. He hasn't taken away the emotion, but he's giving me the ability to package it a little better. You know, I love it when we as men, when we as fathers, are not afraid to show our kids that there is a tearful side, there's a real side to us. Being tough is a good thing. There are times when it needs to be there. But showing that Jesus is in control of your life sometimes includes tears. So I don't know. We've been on the topic of the Holy Spirit and His work, and the theme this morning continues that, of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives and what more He wants to do in your life and mine as we give ourselves to Him. And we can only do that as we come to Jesus, because we're living in an upside-down world. Did you notice what was on your bulletin and what was on the screen? Did you catch the significance of that? An upside-down city with two people walking underneath it. You see, you are the human representatives that Jesus has called into ministry for Him. You and I are the ones that go out there and rub shoulders with our family and our neighbors and our friends. You and I are the ones that have the grand and glorious task of sharing Jesus everywhere we go. This morning, I got a call from Kathleen. This is Sarah Terrell's daughter, who asked me to add to our prayer list her brother-in-law, David Austin, who has suffered two strokes. The first one affected, I think it was his right side, the second one his left side. They live in Arizona, and they were here last February for the funeral of his wife Yvonne and Kathleen, her sister's, and Sarah's husband's funeral, right? There are needs all around us, aren't there? Jesus wants to do a mighty work in your life and in mine. And I felt impressed this morning to share with you from the book of Acts, the story of Stephen. We don't know anything about Stephen other than that he was one of the seven deacons that was chosen to help organize and take care of and administer the new church, that burgeoning church that was growing exponentially. When you have 3,000 joining in the church in a day, that becomes problematic for a pastor. So Peter and the other apostles decided that under the wisdom and grace of the Holy Spirit, we've got to get more organized, we've got to get better coordinated, we've got to have people here to help us reach out and take care of this new flock. And so let's go to Acts chapter 6, verse 3, and see what there said. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of what? Good reputation, full of Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over His business. Wow. Now, if you heard this call go out, men, which one of you would immediately went, "Ching, I'm ready"? Would you? Things were different then. A little bit different then, maybe. Because what did you see happening every day? People coming to Jesus. People's hearts responding to the call to accept Jesus as their precious Savior. The come to Jesus was being sounded everywhere. Well, one of the seven was a man named Stephen. And we pick his story up in Acts 6, verse 5. Here's what it says. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of what? Faith and the Holy Spirit. And then they chose Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. Men who were ready to step up and lead the church and to help organize the church and help maintain the church and help to take care of the widows and the orphans and the widowers and to help the church to prosper and grow. And in verse 7 it says, then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. It's interesting that sometimes the very ones who should be leading out and leading a church deeper and closer into a relationship with Jesus are not always doing their job. Now, I'm not casting stones because I have the responsibility to do that along with your help. Under the leadership and guidance of who? The Holy Spirit. The minute I use the I word, I'm going to fall flat on my face. I am powerless without Jesus. I could go through motions, but there would be no emotion. There would be no power unless Jesus is the one leading in my life and yours. I don't know about you, but I want power. I'm pleading with Him to give me more power, not so I can go out and do great things for Him, but just so first and foremost, I can be a man of faith as Stephen was. Stephen was a great example of an individual who practiced living upright in an upside-down world. The devil was angry because of Stephen's work. And the devil worked most viciously and ferociously in the spiritual leadership to be the stumbling block for Stephen and others who were called to lead the church in a deeper walk with Jesus. Now, Stephen, as I said, we don't know much about him. We don't know if he was married. We don't know if he was a father with children. We don't know his age. But none of that matters in my book. The most important thing is Stephen understood what it meant to have a powerful relationship with Jesus. Stephen understood what it was to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Stephen wanted that. He pleaded with that. He was given that power through the Holy Spirit to do a mighty work for Jesus. He was a committed believer and disciple of Jesus. That's why Satan organized through the religious leaders of the time to stop his, Stephen's, message. Did it work? No. Because we're still talking about Stephen and his witness today, 2,000 plus years later. Stephen, a man of faith and filled with the Holy Spirit. And so in verse 8, as we pick up the story again, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great signs and wonders among the people. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, the Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing Stephen, And they were not able, listen to this, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he, Stephen, spoke. Yes, that's an amen. Men of the church, and women too, do you have that Holy Spirit relationship that makes this applicable to your life and mine today? If not, get it. Ask Jesus to cleanse you from all sin. You see, Stephen understood the process of repentance, revival, and reformation. He understood how Jesus can come in and transform your life, your heart, your mind into his likeness. And when he does that, and you give him permission, in fact, you ask for him to have the Holy Spirit cascading into your life with Niagara Falls power, you can and will live up to what Jesus has called you to do. Going to verse 15. And all who sat on the council, looking steadfastly at him, read it with me, saw his face as the face of an angel. What was happening in Stephen's life? What was visible about Stephen? Who was taking residence in his life? Jesus was. The Holy Spirit was, to the point where his face lit up. He was aglow with the power that Jesus wants you to have today. Out of all of the disciples and all of those seven deacons, Stephen is the only one that we have this illustrated. Face of an angel. When you go out into your community and you have the face of an angel, what's going to happen? Are people going to be curious about what it is that's lighting up your countenance? Absolutely. As a businessman, a businesswoman, as a doctor, as a nurse, as a dentist, as a whatever occupant, a plumber, a carpenter, teacher, salesperson, secretary, it doesn't matter what your career is. When you step out there into the world, what do they see when they encounter you? Do they see a person that they want to get closer to? Is there something that draws people to you that says, excuse me, excuse me, something different about you? What is it? And how are you going to answer? That's the next important question. Stephen was standing before the religious dignitaries of the time. In our culture, in our time, he would have been standing before the conference president. Maybe even the general conference president. And through the power and grace of the Holy Spirit and the relationship that that brought into his life, he began to share a story. Stephen, like us, followed in the footsteps of Jesus. I want to take you back to a story about Jesus. It's found in Luke 24, 27. I'm picking verse 27. Here's the story. Jesus was joined a couple of disciples who were on their way to Emmaus. They had just witnessed the execution of Jesus on the cross. They were crushed. Their hearts were broken. They were weighted down with sadness. All hope was gone. Their Savior that they put all of their goals in was gone. He didn't raise up an army and take over the kingdom. He died on the cross. They were crushed. So as they were walking home, they were talking about what had just transpired. And a stranger joins them and began walking with them and asking questions. And they told him, well, haven't you heard about what's just happened? As he walks along, here's what he said, verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. But notice what he didn't do. He didn't walk up to them and say, hi guys, I'm Jesus. That's what I love about Jesus. He doesn't come into your life and into your heart uninvited. But what he will do is everything in his power to work with you and to get you to the point where you will want him in your heart and in your life. He does that nonstop, pleading with you, knocking. You know the picture, the Adventist picture, the well-known Adventist picture? Jesus knocking at the door. There's no doorknob on the outside of that door. It has to be opened from the inside. Or you see him standing at the United Nations building. He's standing at your heart and mind today, right now, knocking. You didn't challenge me on that, did you? He is in your heart right now, isn't he? You've already opened the door, haven't you? Thank you. Jesus. And as Jesus talks with them, he takes them back and explains the wonderful plan of salvation. And Stephen does the very same thing. And under the power and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, Stephen opened the word to these men. And he went back all the way to the time of Abraham, and he came forward in time, sharing with them the wonderful plan of salvation and how God has used men and women like you and like me to take the gospel to the world and to prepare a people for eternity. But then, in Acts 7, verse 51 and following, you can see Stephen standing, pointing the finger as he proclaims, verse 51, you what? Stiff-necked people. Ay-yi-yi. That took a holy boldness. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and the murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. Ay, ay, ay. I'm not sure that's a good pastoral term to use, but you get the picture. And in verse 54, it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. Interesting expression. And it seems as though they were grinding their teeth in anger and frustration. You see, just in a few verses before, they had accused him of blasphemy. But here's the key text in these verses. Notice these next two verses. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus, doing what? standing at the right hand of God. Pause there for a moment. When Scripture talks about heavenly scenes, how does it usually depict Jesus? Sitting at the right hand of the Father. Here, Stephen saw Jesus standing. I think that's significant. When you are in trouble and you need help from heaven, Jesus doesn't sit down. He stands up. He is on your side. He is here for you. He is always there for you, and He will be there for you. He will not forsake you ever when you need Him. He, Jesus, stood up for Stephen. Why would that be significant? Did Stephen have some clue about what was probably going to happen to him? I think so. But his heart was filled with the light of heaven. He was living in an upside-down world at the moment, but he was right side up with Jesus. And then he said, "Look, I see heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Standing. Reminds me of the song, "Standing on the Promises." Oh, my friends. To another believer, these are powerful words. But to someone who is under the control of Satan, these are words that just make their anger just become that much more angrier and terrifying. "And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.'" Notice this, verse 60. "Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not charge them with this sin.'" That's a true disciple of Jesus. Forgiveness. No animosity against his brothers or sisters, but his eyes on Jesus, a forgiving heart. The same similar words that Jesus spoke when he was being nailed to the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Here's how I believe Jesus works. Jesus, in answer to our prayer for help, is always there. You and I have no idea how we will face whatever trials and tribulations come our way. Some of you have already been through some of these trials and tribulations. There are people in the world that are currently going through their time of trouble. You and I will not have the power or the ability to face those trials and troubles until they're actually here. Our work between now and then is to stay in relationship with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit fully in control of our lives, keeping us in that right relationship with Jesus, the robe of righteousness covering you, and when that trial comes, and if you were to face the worst case scenario or anyone in your family, you can count on Jesus to stand up. Not only can you count on him to stand up, but I believe he will give you heaven's anesthetic when the time is needed. He is the great anesthesiologist that ever existed. He can take care of you. You know, I think back to Huss and Jerome, Huss in particular, who was burned at the stake. And what do you remember about that story? As the flames were enveloping up around him, what was he doing? Singing. There is no evidence that there were screams of pain. He was singing. Singing hymns. What was Stephen doing? Stephen, full of the power of the Holy Spirit, had just asked for forgiveness for those who were in the process of killing them, and he stole their thunder, or at least Jesus did, I believe. And he fell asleep. My friends, are your eyes on Jesus? Come to Jesus. I invite you today to not leave here today. Just as we did last week, giving our lives and hearts to Jesus. Has Jesus done more miracles in your life this last week than you had the week before? Has he? Satan is working hard. You know, I had one of the roughest weeks that I had in all my because of the invitation last week. Satan was hammering me. Your pastor needs your prayers. Jesus stood up for you last week. And he's standing up now for you. I praise the Lord as he sits there on the right hand of God that he's here listening to your petitions and answering them. I want to conclude with this quote. It's from the Acts of the Apostles, page 101. Here's what she says. The martyrdom of Stephen made a deep impression upon all who witnessed it. The memory of the signet of God upon his face, his words, which touched the very souls of those who heard them, remained in the minds of the beholders and testified to the truth of that which he had proclaimed. His death was a sore trial to the church, but it resulted in the conviction of Saul, who later became known as Paul, who could not efface or erase from his memory the faith and constancy of the martyr and the glory that had rested upon his countenance. Oh, my friends, I invite you into a deeper and deeper and more Holy Spirit filled relationship with Jesus with each passing hour of every day. Jesus wants to make the difference in your life. He's calling you into a deep relationship with him, with his power and through his power. Will you make a commitment with me, an ongoing commitment to be that light that he wants us to be in a dark world, and help him, Jesus, turn the world upside down.
Let's stand and sing hymn number 265. Breathe on me, Holy Spirit, breath of God. On me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with thee I will one will to do and to endure. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, until this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. Breathe on me, breath of God, so shall I constant be and live with thee the perfect life of thine eternity.
That song is a prayer. Breathe on me, breath of God. I don't know if there's someone here today that is ready and is responding to the invitation of the Holy Spirit to make a decision for Jesus. If there is one of those or more of those individuals here today, I would invite them to step out of the pew and come down and join me. Jesus is calling you. He's calling me into a Holy Spirit anointed relationship with Him. Don't put off making a decision for Jesus, not even for another second in your life. Open your heart to Him. Open your life to Him. Let Him be the power. Let Him, Jesus, be the one that will change you into His likeness so that your face is aglow with the love and the grace of Jesus. And as we leave here today, we go in the power with full faith and full power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing and answering our prayers today. Thank you for comforting our broken hearts. Been a lot of sadness in this church. Paul Tenbrink losing his wife Louise on Monday. Little Ryan on Thursday. Oh, Jesus, sadness. But we know the rest of the story. This is just the closing of a chapter. You, Jesus, are there for those who are in beds of sickness. There are those within our church that are out need work. Oh, Jesus, we ask you to answer all of the prayers that are rising up to heaven on our behalf. But bring your Holy Spirit into our hearts and lives. And I thank my brothers and sisters who are joining me now. You, Jesus, transforming theirs and our hearts into your likeness. Loving Jesus, rain upon us your Holy Spirit. Thank you for bringing us in a cleansing relationship with you, placing the robe of righteousness upon us, and empowering us to be your servants. In Jesus' name, amen.